But this morning, thanks to God, I'm going to talk about ready for a change. So this is still going, although it's not a love message, but are you ready for a change? Ready for a change. And this morning I'll be coming out of John, the 5th chapter. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we just come, Father God, in the name of Jesus, just thanking you, Father God, once again for this day. We thank you, Holy Spirit, action rise up big, and let the word fall on fertile ground as we go forth preaching, teaching your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We see in John chapter 5, it said, later on, there was a Jewish feast. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And these laid a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the move of the water. For the angel went down at a certain time in the pool and stirred up the water. Then whosoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him land there and know that he already had been there in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I was come, another stepped down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, who was cured? It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they answered him, who is this man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was here did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jew that it was Jesus who made him well. And like I said, thanks to God, to put a title to that is ready for a change. We see that change is one of the most difficult things that we face in life. One reason we do not like change is because we get comfortable where we are. We get in a place that we're so comfortable that we don't want to change. We don't like to change it. But God has something for us that we can not even imagine. A greater something for us. He wants us to change, not stay still right there in that comfortable zone. God wants to get us out of that comfortable zone and to do the his perfect will, what he have called you to do. Amen. We get so used to our friends, our job, the place we live in, and even if it's not perfect, we will accept it because we're familiar with it. What happened because we are not willing to change is we get stuck in the past. Instead of moving forward and to God is about to do, I want to let you know, thanks to God, God is preparing you for something with a great destiny. He is bringing a new season of refreshment. My question is, are you ready for the change? Are you ready to break that cycle of day-to-day life and receive the change that God has for you? I'm talking to somebody who is trying or going around and around and around in the same old circle with the same old problem. You have enough in life, enough of lack, enough of fear, disappointment, discouragement, shame. Everybody here needs to turn around and go and go to do the thing that God has called you to do. He is able and he is willing. So in order to do those changes, saints, God, I wanted to bring up five hindrances to the change. We got to be aware of five hindrances to the change in order for us to change. One of these changes we got to, that is a hindrance, is pride. Pride. In Proverbs 16:18 said, pride goes before destruction, a hasty spirit before a fall. See, pride says, I don't want to change. Pride does things his own way. Humility does things God's way. Pride said, I don't need to change. Pride said, there's nothing wrong with me. You are the one to change, not me. As long as there's pride in your life, you will not change, saints of God. Too proud to change will lead your life into a fall. Another thing that hinders change is fear. We see that fear says, I'm afraid to change. I'm afraid to take risks. I will live in the average rather than step into something new. Fear can make you afraid to change or take risks based on what happened in the past. Jonah was afraid to step in the call of God. He instead took the ship to the opposite direction. It led to confusion. See, fear, it lead to confusion, thanks to God. Fearful to change, it lead to confusion. Don't settle for less. God have the best for you, but you need to be bold for that change. Step out of fear, step on to the love of God. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fear is made perfect in love. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, for God have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Another hindrance of change is rebellion. Pride said, I don't want to change. Fear says, I am afraid to change. Rebellion said, I don't need to change. If you are rebelling, you just lose. You lose, thanks to God. King Saul is a perfect example. To rebel, to change, lead to destruction. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 15, the Lord spoke to Saul about through Samuel to attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belonged to them. See, but Saul, being disobedient, being rebellious, he, instead of doing what God had told him to do, he went out and being rebellious, once save the king or save the good stuff, and all the bad stuff he destroyed. When God tells us to do something, saints of God, it is behoove us to follow its instruction. It might be through a dream, it might be through a person, it might be through the word, but it behooves us not to rebel against the word of God. Amen. We see that the next day Samuel read Saul and said, I have carried out the Lord's instruction. But Samuel said, I can hear the blasting of the sheep. Saul said, the soldiers took the sheep for sacrifice in the temple. So we see in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 and 23, Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as much as obedience to the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hear is better than the fat of a ram. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogant like the evil or idolaters. Because you have rejected the word of God, he has rejected you as king. See, Saul lost his position. He lost his kingdom. He lost his anointing. He lost his life in the process. So being, thanks to God, being rebellion, you can lose your life. You can lose your possession. You can lose your family. You can lose your financial. You can lose your job. You can lose favor. So we have to be careful when we rebel against God and his word. Matter of fact, we can lose if we be rebellious against our leader. So we have to be careful how we rebel and be use that pride, and how we use let fear use us, and how we be rebellion. We got to be aware of these things because they are hindering to our change in life. Also, another hindrance for a change in life is laziness. We see that laziness said, I don't feel like changing. It's too hard for me to change. I don't want to work to change. Being lazy to change will lead you to Proverbs. Proverbs 6, chapter 6, verse 9 and 11 said, how long will you lie there, you sluggards? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand to rest, and poverty will come to you like a thief and sacrifice, like an armed man. So we see that pride, it don't want to change. Fear was afraid to change. Rebellion, I don't need to change. Laziness, don't feel like changing. And the fifth one, thanks to God, is ignorance, which I don't know how to change. But Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 said, my people are destroyed by the lack of knowledge. Ignorance or change will lead you nowhere. You see, change is inevitable. Whomever God calls and uses, God brought about a reason for that change and refreshment. There are times when the Israelites were set toward the wilderness along the route of the Red Sea. The Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, it said, then the Lord said to me, you have made your way around this country, this hill country long enough. Now turn north. So God is telling us, thanks to God, we have sat here long enough. It is time for a change. Go to a direction in life that makes a change. God wants to bring about a change in your life today. You have been going around the same route for long enough. It is time to turn the direction of God. Are you ready for a change, thanks to God? In the modern day biblical change, we see in John 5, chapter 5, verse 1 through 15. Sometime later, as I read, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Jewish festival. Now there was in Jerusalem, was a pool called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five porches. There was a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One was there for a valid or 38 years. How long have we been lying in wait for a change in our life? For 38 years, see, there have been no change in his condition for 38 long years. So we have to ask ourselves, thank God, are we ready for a change, or are we in our comfortable zone that we don't want to change? Are we in that hindrance zone? Well, we got pride. But see, pride, it like Satan, like Lucifer, it brought him down. Pride would destroy you. Are we in that stage of fear that I'm afraid to change? Are we in that stage of rebellion? I don't need to change. Are we in that lazy stage? I don't feel like changing. Or are we in that ignorant stage? I don't know how to change. But saints of God, no matter how long you've been in that stage of comfort, it is time for a change. Are you ready for a change? We see that Jesus is at Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Jews. Once inside, Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda, laid around the pool are the poor, the sick, the blind, the lame, the legless, the peaceful, and the paralyzed people. Everyone had a deformity. Everyone needed a change, and so do we. We see that it is said that on occasion, an angel of the Lord stirred the water, and whosoever get in the pool first would be healed. Everyone lay there waiting for their turn. There was that man who was waiting for 38 years. He was paralyzed, waiting for his turn. Probably he was thinking in his heart that someone is always overtaking me when it's my turn to get in the pool. But we see in John chapter 5, verse 6, in verse 6 it said, and when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Saints of God, Jesus is asking us today, do you want to get well? Are you ready for a change? So he's left up to us as believers to accept that invitation, to answer that question. Do you want to get well? Are you ready for a change? Jesus asked him if he wants to get well. You know, that might sound like an abusive question. Of course, you know, the man wanted to get well because he wouldn't been at the gate at the pool. Of course, we sometimes want to get well. I'm not talking about just physical well, but well for a change in our life. So we see, you know, we have to want to get well. You know, we won't ask a drowning man, do you want a life preserved? Of course he want a life preserved if he's drowning. So, you know, we have to ask ourselves, are we ready for a change? It's left up to us, saints of God, are we ready for a change in life? Are we, you know, like I said, I know it's scary. I'm going through it right now. I know it's scary. But I know that God is my source. Amen. God is my source. Yes. And so we, you know, my wife and I, we have to look at that as our source. We can't depend on the job. But we got to depend on God. It's sort of too late to turn back now. So we got to keep going forward, depending on God. So actually, it was a valid question. You know, we see there was people who, even in an opportunity for healing, might actually choose to remain sick. Right there, he was free of responsibility. He can just be in a place. See, right now, he's in a place where he gets food, money, clothing, all that was supplied, was provided for him. When Jesus asks, do you want to get well, he seems to be saying, you have friends who bring you here, and you develop friendship with other who is here regularly. If I heal you, your life will be a complete reverse. You'll be expected to get a job, and to relate to people on different bases. Are you ready for a change? Do you really want to get well? So that's what God is talking to us today. Are you ready for a change? Are you ready for what I am ready to do for you? Are you ready to accept that responsibility? No more eating bologna, but eating steak. No more riding in a jalopy, but riding in a Mercedes. No more living in a shack, but living in a mansion. See, no more just having a friend, but having some friends. See, God is able, saints of God, but we have to be able to receive that, what he is willing to do for us. We got to be able to receive that change in our life that and get out of that comfortable zone that we're in. Because we're so, like I said, we're so stuck in that comfortable zone and afraid to step out and take risks of life. We got to do it. We got to stop that, saints of God. Because God loves us so much, he would not leave us nor forsake us. That's in his word. He would not leave us nor forsake us or take us somewhere or do a change in our life that we cannot handle. He would put no more on us that we cannot bear. So it left us to get out of that mindset that I got pride, I'm fearful, I'm lazy, or I'm just ignorant of the change that God is having for us. So we got to be ready. We got to be ready for a change. God is asking, are you ready for a change? Are you willing to make the adjustment that I'm about to bring to you? Some of us today are standing on the edge of our miracle, thanks to God. We're right there on the edge and don't even know it. Your miracle depends on your resolve for a change. Amen. That's where we at. Someone else is right there. We're right on the edge, but it's dependent on are we willing to change. The only one who can keep that man from out, to keep that man out was himself. So with us, it is ourselves that can keep that change from coming. The only one who can keep you from your blessing is you. The only one who can keep your prophecy from coming to pass is you. There's a local belief. There was a local belief that the water at Bethesda had healing power. Some Bibles read that an angel of the Lord came down and stirred the water. The people believed that when the water of Bethesda bubbled up, the first one in the water would be cured. But saints of God, we didn't have to wait on the angel stirred up. We ain't got to wait on nobody to help us to get in. It left up to us. The opportunity is for us right now to just open up and say, Lord, I am willing. Change me. So we got to open up our heart and get those hindrances out and accept the change in our life from God. When Jesus asked, do you want to get well? In verse 7, it said, sir, then Valor replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. So in other words, saints of God, we all got excuses. We all looking in the wrong places for our resource. This is telling us, saints of God, stop depending on other people. Stop depending on, your friends, on your neighbor, on, on the government. But depend on him. He asking you, saints of God, are you ready for a change? Do you want to get well? Do you want that change in your life? It is left up to you. So we got to stop passing the buck, in other words, saints of God. We got to stop pointing fingers at this one and at that, and quit blaming others if we want to change. Here he was complaining. Every time the water bubble up, no one is there to help me in the pool. It's oh me, oh my. Just like we are today, it's always me. Never nobody else. It's it's always somebody else, and not me. It's always the strong one who reached the water first. There's no one to help me. It's been that way for 38 years. It's so easy to blame others for our problems today, thanks to God. We see that God asked Abraham, why do you disobeyed? Adam explained, the woman that you gave me persuaded me to eat. Blame. When Moses asked Aaron why he permitted the Israelites to worship a golden calf, Aaron said, Moses, you was gone so long, they wanted gods like the Canaanites. I just threw their jurors into the fire, and poof, out came a calf. He blamed the people. He blamed Moses for taking so long. He blamed the Canaanite. He blamed the fire even. He never took responsibility for himself. And that's just like what we are today, saints of God. We always blaming others. We are off instead of blaming ourselves. It is left to us to receive that change. It is left to us to get rid of those hindrances for that change. We got to get ready. We got to be ready, because today God is saying, are you ready for a change? You got to answer, be able to answer that question for yourself. I can't answer that for my wife. I can't answer for my family. I got to be able to answer for myself. My wife got to be able to answer for herself. You got to be able to answer for yourself. You can't answer for nobody. That's just like salvation. You got to accept that for yourself. This is a personal change. This is a personal opportunity. You got to accept that opportunity. See, we people do the same thing today. How often do we hear people say, I'll stop drinking if my wife stop nagging me. I work harder, but no one appreciate my effort. I make better grade if my teacher don't like me. I will stop smoking if they stop making cigarettes. So it's always an excuse. Point at somebody else instead of point at us. Because if you realize, thanks to God, when I'm out there pointing, three fingers is pointing back at me. Amen. So we got to be careful how we point. You can point. I'm just saying. Got to be careful, thanks to God. See, sometimes we blame heritage, environment, circumstances, everything except ourselves. Yet what the Lord wants is for us to accept responsibility for our own behavior. Yes, heritage and environment plays a part in our influencing us, but we can rise above that if we want to. Some of the world's best people have terrible passes, and some of the most privileged people wind up being complete failures. Take responsibility for your condition, thanks to God. We got to take responsibility for our action. John 5 and 8 said, when Jesus said to him, pick up your mat and walk, it is an act of faith. So in other words, thanks to God, it's all in dealing back with faith, our faith. How strong is your faith? How strong do you believe that God is able to make a change in your life? We see we got to stretch beyond ourselves. God always requires a delicate effort on the part of a person before he could do something. Abraham had to leave his country. Moses had to go back to Egypt. God said to the ten lepers, go show yourself to the priest. And they went, and they was healed. So we have to do something. It's not just sitting there. We got to do something. We got to put our faith in action, thanks to God. So we see that this man have a choice. He could start walking, or just lie down in the same condition. We have a choice, saints of God. We can even start walking, believing on God, or we can continue to live in the same old condition that we're living in. There was many reasons for him not walking. The past was telling you would never walk. The circumstances are telling him, it's the Sabbath day. Lift up the mat against the law. So in other words, even our past will come to haunt us to some of the things that we did in the past. He'll come, well, you know you did this before, and this is this such happened. But we got to forget about the past that was in the past. God is faithful, saints of God. He is faithful. If he said it, you better believe it. Now, if I said I want something, you might want to think about it, you know, at time. But when God said, you know, if, ands, and but, you can take it to the bank. So we have to remember, thanks to God, if you want to change, you need to stretch beyond your past. Forget about your past and look at the present and what God is taking you to you in the, taking you to in the future. One of the greatest hindrances for your breakthrough is your memories. That is one of your greatest hindrances is your memories. Because those thoughts will bring about fear. Your past will bring about fear, thanks to God. The things that you know that you didn't do right, things that you wanted to do but you failed, or things that were happening in your life that wasn't successful, you know, those were hindered. But God, he is able. We see that we got to forget about those old past memories. Some of you have not received the breakthrough in life because you are processing everything through the lens of past disappointment, past hurt, past wound. But God is saying the only way to get to the new is let go of the old. Today we have a choice to act against our past and our circumstance and trust God for the future. He is willing to bring a change in your situation. One of the worst cases of scenario in the Bible, we'll find it in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. I'm not going to read all of it, but just highlight that chapter is the Valley of the Dry Bone. It looked hopeless, impossible, beyond the point of no return. But when the prophet started prophesying to those dry bones, something started to happen. Things started to change. Bones started coming together. And they didn't just come together, but every bone found it matching bone. When the prophet finished prophesying, in the very same place where there was nothing but dry bone, there stood a mighty army, fully equipped and fully empowered to fight. So, saints of God, we might be having these dry bones, but we got to speak to those dry bones in our life. Amen. See, words have power. Amen. And we got to speak life and not death. Amen. We got to speak blessing and not curse. Amen. So it left up to us, saints of God, to speak to the dry bones in our life. We got to speak to that pride in our life. We got to speak to that fear in our life. We got to speak to that laziness in our life. We got to speak to that ignorance in our life. We got to speak to those things in order for us to be ready for the change that God has for us. It doesn't matter whatever happens to you, you have to let go and move forward. Stretch forth in faith. Stretch your faith and speak to your circumstances. We look at this man. For 38 years, he have not been moved. He listened to the voice of God, stretched his faith, and his condition to change. In verse 9, at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. For 38 long years, the mat carried him. Now, he is carrying the mat. Child of God, whatever circumstances you face in life, if you act in faith, you can overcome them by God. So don't let your problems carry you, thanks to God. You carry your problem. In other words, what I'm saying is you carry your problem to God.
Amen.
Don't let your problem carry you the opposite direction.
Amen.
You got to carry your problem to, in your situation, to God. Like they always, that son said, don't tell God about your problem, your situation, but tell your situation about your God. So we got to take our problem, carry our problem to our God. He is able and he is willing. So we see, but notice, in order for that man to be healed, he has to stretch beyond himself. If we want to get well, there must be an effort on our part. Do you want to change, want a change in your situation? Are you willing to stretch your faith? It's left up to you, thanks to God. God is ready. God has said, are you ready for a change? Stretch beyond your ability. Sometimes God is asking you to do something. You need to act in faith. It means that you need to start something by faith. It may be that you need to get more time in prayer, spend more time in prayer and devotion. It may be that you need more time alone with him. It's something that you, it left up, whatever it is, thanks God, it left up to you. God is waiting. He is waiting on you. Sometimes we say that old saying, I'm waiting on God. God, he was ready at the beginning of time. So it's not us waiting on God. God is waiting on us. He's not going to put his, you know, his will on you, force his will on you. You got to accept it. You got to be ready. It left up to you to stop and think and say, well, Lord, here am I. Use me.
Amen.
See, we got to stop doing the same old thing that we is doing, saints of God. Sometimes stretching is to be a habit. Stop the wrong relationship in our life. Stretching is making effort by faith. It means that you need to be willing to give up on some friends. It means saying no to pleasure or tempting relationship. It means saying, flesh, come under suggestion. My spirit and my soul is going to have control of my flesh. We got to speak to this body, our body,
amen,
to get in line with our spirit and our soul.
Amen.
And when we do that, it'll be easy. But I'm telling you right now, saints of God, no matter what situation you're in, the flesh is going to give you trouble. It's going to fight every nuisance, about every noose, tooth and nail to try to stay in control.
Amen.
Even when you fast, it is hard. You know, you can go, might go that one day. That second day, first thing, all right, I ain't eating now. You know, what's up? You might go that second day. But that third day, when you go over in the spiritual realm, he going to fight you like every cupcake, roast, chicken going to come along. That it is. You're going to smell, even if it's a mile away, you can smell Bojangles. But we see that we got to fight. The flesh is going to fight, but we got to be able to get the flesh under control. All citizens, thanks to God, we got to get this flesh under control in order to win this battle. See, we see that not only we got to get rid of all this old stuff, we got to stay calm. Sometimes you may face all opposition around you. In such a case, stretching faith is to stay calm. We see in Psalms 46, verse 10, it said, be still and know that I am God. If we realize what, if we really want to get well, we must make an effort. The day on which this took place was on a Sabbath day. So the Jews said to the man, who had been healed is on the Sabbath day. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this man who told you to pick up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away in the crowd that was there. So sometimes, thanks to God, things happen in our life. We know that Jesus does, but we don't know how it was done. Miracles happen that we don't know how it happened. We might be down to our last $2 and need gas in our car. But somebody might walk up to us and say, brother, the Lord told me to bless you with this. Enough to put gas in your car. You don't know how I did, but God does. So it's the same way with this man. He didn't know who it was, but he knew it had happened. So they asked him, who is this man who told you to pick up the water? The man who was here, he had have no ideas because Jesus had slipped away. But Jesus came back to reveal himself to that man. See, Jesus will bring back, the Holy Spirit will bring back to our memory. I did it before. I'm able to do it again. Yes. See, we see in John, in verse 14, it said, later Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. So let's take notice of that. He was well again. There must have been time in this man's life when he could walk. Because it said, notice he was well again. So we see, thanks to God, although we did this in our past, God telling us to stop doing what we did in the past. Stop sinning and everything. We know if it's contrary to the word, to stop being contrary, be rebellious, in other words, and pick up what he wants you to do. To focus on him, not on our problem, ourselves, and our surrounding. As long as we keep focused on him, and I guess, in other words, this is the time to put the horse blinders, put the horse blinders on, whatever you call them, little blinders that you put on the horse, and keep them focused straight, keep our attention or focus straight on God. Not looking to the right, not looking to the left, but straight ahead, because that's where our source comes from. So in other words, he told the guy to stop sinning. Sin is a rebellion. I wonder if they have been disobedient in his younger year that had caused him his lameness. Whatever cause, Jesus warned him that there was something worse than being physical in peril, and there was spending eternal apart from him. So God is telling us, thanks to God, make a change. Are you ready for that change? Are you ready to really to accept his full presence? Not just part of his presence, his glory, but his full glory. The full fresh anointing to go out and have that peace. See, we see that in verse 15, it said, the man went away and told the Jews' leader that it was Jesus who made him well. So we have to let people know it is Jesus. It is all about Jesus. Yes. Not just saying, because sometimes, you know, we get in that habit. It was me. I did this. I did that. Or we did this. Or we did that. But it's all about Jesus. That's what we got to let the world know. It's about Jesus. It's Jesus done that. You know, people, sometimes you look at that,
that glow on you. People say, you look different. You look younger. You look this. You look that. It's because of the presence of God, you know, the Lord with you. Tell him about, you know, that's the bigger opportunity right there, saints of God, to tell him. You know, it's not about my glory, but it's the glory of the Lord. It's a time, that's a good time to witness to them. You know, I got this because of my Lord, my Savior. So when healing of some sort takes place in our life, we ought to give God the glory.
Yes.
All this sickness and this look up that people having, you know, this time of the year and everything, and coughing and flu and stuff that going around, we got to still give God the glory.
Amen. That's right.
Because by the stripes, we was healed. If we were healed, we are healed. Amen. So no matter what it feel like, no matter what it seemed like, you know, might have the hot chills, might have the cold chills, you might have the snuffles, you might have the sniffling and the gulp in your throat and everything, we still give God the glory. See, we got to give God the glory. Psalm 72 and 18 said, praise be to God, Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. So we see, saints of God, we got to give God the glory no matter what.
Amen.
When God get the promotion, changes, we're inclined to forget God's blessing and take credit for ourselves. We said things like, I worked hard, I invest hard, I take care of my body, I eat right, I exercise, I go on and on and on about this. It's all I. But not by Jesus, 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 Jesus. We get in that habit, like I said, thanks to God. When things is going right, it's I. That's that pride. That's the pride. I. But when we give Jesus, it's all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's the praise.
Yes.
So, as coming to unplug, do you see how wonderful Jesus was to this man? Jesus changed his condition of 38 years. There is changing power in the church of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is an agent of change, and he is reaching out to you. Do you want that change? That is the question, saints of God, that we have to ask ourselves. Are we ready for the change? I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but somebody need a turnaround. You need it, and God is going to do it for you. Just say, God, I am ready for a change. Amen.